Welcome. Can everybody hear me? I think
that works.
Okay, good. So welcome to the Who, What, and How of Advocacy. And I want to thank everybody for being here, especially during lunch hour or nap time, whatever you prefer usually, around 12:30. I'm Nicole Berta, the Manager of Government Relations for APHA. And at APHA, I'm responsible for promoting APHA's legislative agenda and coordinating APHA's grassroots advocacy activities. And I'm also joined by Maris Ash, who is the founder and CEO of ChangeLab Solutions, a nonprofit national technical assistance center offering public health leaders access to high-quality legal and policy resources for public health campaigns related to chronic disease control. Maris is a graduate of the University of Notre Dame and received her MPH and JD degrees from the University of California at Berkeley. And we also have a special guest today who just joined us, Jean Matthews, who served as the Chief Legal Officer for CDC in Atlanta for 25 years. And for the last 6 years, he's been working at UNC Chapel Hill School of Public Health and working on Robert Wood Johnson Foundation's Network for Public Law grant. So we have a lot of exciting discussion and conversation up ahead. I'll be talking about the importance of advocacy and the tools and resources we have at APHA to help you be an advocate. And then we'll hear a little bit more on the legal basics of advocacy. I know there's sometimes a little bit of fear out there of how you can engage in advocacy and if it's okay to engage your members of Congress and other policymakers in advocacy efforts and what the difference is between education, advocacy, and lobbying. So we'll get that straightened out. And then hopefully we'll hear some colorful stories from Jean Matthews, it sounds like, in his experiences. So with that, we'll get started with everyone can be an advocate and looking at why advocacy matters. So as we all know, everybody here cares greatly about public health, but oftentimes it's hard when you're either trying to describe it to the public, your friends, I'm trying to describe it to my mother, what I do on a daily basis, and she's like, I still don't quite get it. And so I'm always struggling to define it myself, and it's because it's so broad and it's also integrated into our daily lives where we forget that public health really touches on all of the aspects. So it's critical for advocates to talk about public health, and they really have the opportunity to shape the national debate and to talk about it and bring it up so that it's something that is talked about at the dinner table so that everybody can understand it. And also an important aspect is that members of Congress listen to their constituents. It's a little different than when you have just a suit from an association like myself going up to Congress lobbying on behalf of public health, compared to having a constituent, somebody from the community, and also somebody who works in public health with experience from on the ground, to go in and to demonstrate the importance of your programs in that district, in that state. And as public health professionals, you're also seen as a very credible source, and you become a resource for that staff member, and they start reaching out to you, so it becomes a two-way relationship, not just that you're always asking them for information, but they start reaching out to you as well. So just like any other relationship you have in your lives, with your friends, with your family, it's the same thing. And I know sometimes there's a little bit of fear or just being nervous, especially if you're in D.C. or going to Capitol Hill and you see these buildings made out of marble. But I like to think of it more as the Wizard of Oz. It's just the little man behind a curtain, and the marble isn't that, you know, it's not that impressive, really. It's nothing to be afraid of. So diving a little bit more into it, as I'm sure you're all aware, with the very partisan environment we're experiencing and the government shut down half of October, we're definitely in a difficult situation and with a tight budget as well. So it's absolutely critical to have this unified voice that's not necessarily pitting one public health program against another, HIV over maternal child health, but that public health, if the pie is bigger, then everybody's going to get a larger slice. and to really go in and talk to Congress so that they're also prioritizing it. So even if your members of Congress, your representative, and your senators are usually voting in favor of public health, that doesn't mean that when they're in the back room negotiating these different issues that they're going to necessarily elevate public health to the top. They might choose a different issue over that, and that's where layers and public health continue to get chopped, I'd say shaved off, but now it's just complete getting chopped down to the bone right now. It's also important to support the champions of public health. I'm sure, like everybody else, it's always nice to have a round of applause, a pat on the back when you do good work at work. I don't quite get that usually, but members of Congress really respond to that. So whether it's giving them a call, a letter to the editor, which I'll talk a little bit more about later, they respond well to that. And then unsupportive members need to hear from you. You need to hold their feet to the fire. It's not just after the vote was in opposition to the position you stood for. You don't just let it go quietly. You continue to keep up that drumbeat and to tell them why the cuts or why their vote hurt their constituents, the communities that we care about. And with that, I wanted to read a couple quotes that have been floating out there recently. The first one was from a congressional staffer saying, "They need to hear thank you and know that their vote was not for nothing. Standing up to the pressure is very difficult." And from another member of Congress, "We're being hammered by constituents about not staying strong and blocking Obamacare, raising the debt ceiling and ending the shutdown. Messages of opposition are at a ratio of 100-1 for those supporting our decision. It's been really nasty, and staff are completely demoralized. Positive reinforcement right now will really help bolster courage as we enter into the next critical phase of negotiations." And as I'm sure many of you know, maybe I should back up a little bit, but with the budget up and coming, Congress did not fund a budget. There was a continuing resolution to get the government back up and running, essentially a stopgap, until January 15th. So right now is a very critical period to get out there and to tell your members of Congress to pass a budget and to prioritize public health when passing a budget. So APHA members and affiliates and other public health advocates play a key role in our association's advocacy activities. APHA members and other advocates make up the grassroots and the grasstops network. And often we're asking you to contact your elected officials in support or opposition of priority legislative issues. So as you can see, we really need you. It's more than just to share. Our government relations staff is a large staff of two people. It's myself and my boss, Don Hopper. And so we can only do so much, and we really depend on both your expertise and your willingness to get out there and have this conversation, which I know everybody is extremely busy in their daily lives and their work. And so I'll talk about in a minute all of the advocacy tools that we have to help you and make it as easy as possible. So it's as little lift as possible for you. So on our website at apha.org/advocacy, we have a ton of great tools, and I know it can be a little bit overwhelming and easy to forget what's on there, so I wanted to run through just a few of them. I always forget what's on there, and I was reviewing it before coming in, and I always impress myself with some of the information we have up there. So I definitely recommend checking it out. We have a sheet on the rules of advocacy, and it gives you great tips on getting to know your legislator and how to do that by looking at their vote record, their expertise, and their interest priorities. Or just small tips on how to, you know, offering assistance, making sure that you follow up, and being a reliable resource. We have sample letters to your members of Congress, so if you'd like to write a letter to your member of Congress, we have templates. You can completely take the template word for word, plagiarize it please, sign your name, and send it to your member of Congress. Not an issue. We're not academia. So you can pull as much as you'd like from it. If you have extra time to be able to personalize it, so it's specific to your field within public health, or it's specific with stories from your local district or state, that's great. If you don't have the time, it's as simple as sending it out. And these, right now, we have a few up that are on gun violence prevention, public health funding, the Clean Air Act, and the Farm Bill, some of our key priorities right now for advocacy at APHA. We also have some information on how to schedule a Hill visit. It's pretty simple, just a sample request for whether you'd like to email them or give them a call, and then the tips on do's and don'ts when you're in a meeting. It's really, a lot of it is simple, just like a regular relationship. Be respectful, be clear in what you're trying to tell them, communicate well. But also, there are some good reminders as well, such as don't be afraid to take a stand on an issue. If you don't agree with your member of Congress, let them know respectfully that you don't agree, and then let them know why, and here's the evidence, and here are the stories, which the stories are just absolutely critical, so that it's not just the mind, but it's the heart and the mind, and pulling them in that direction. And also, sometimes it's nice to go up to the offices that support your position. It's easy, it feels good, and it might take a little bit more energy, but remember to also visit those offices that are not supportive. So little by little, you can pull them over to our side. Some other resources we have, every year we update our state fact sheets. There's some good information. It's not all-inclusive of what's happening in a state, but it gives you a good idea of the funding going to the state from federal funding dollars, from CDC, from HRSA, from the Prevention Fund, what's being received, what's being spent, as well as kind of a general picture of public health for that state and the road ahead, the challenges that lay ahead for that specific state. We also have fact sheets on our key priority issues. And then our policy center is constantly churning out reports and issue briefs. I'd also like to note that in our nation's health, it's pretty much our APHA newspaper that comes out. Every February, we compile a list of all of your members of Congress, and we select about 6 to 7 key public health issues that they had to vote on for the year. We'll show you how they voted, what our position was, and how that compares. So we'll rank them, giving them a 2%, 100%, how friendly they are to public health. And then we compare that also to the previous year to see if they're improving or not improving, just to give you a good idea. And then this can also be some of that information you take with you so you know where your member stands, and it gives you kind of that general broad understanding of where they are on public health issues. Every month, I hope most people are receiving this, if you're a member or an affiliate, we send out a monthly legislative update, and it really quickly captures what's happening in Congress on these key issues and what's coming up in Congress, and it puts it in nice, plain English, so it's easy to understand. If something doesn't make sense, we also have a follow-up call after it comes out, and you're always more than welcome to come in, listen in, and ask any questions that you might have. This is a recent addition. We've been doing legislative and advocacy priorities webinar to talk about those priority issues. We'll also bring in the experts, whether it's from the Hill or the White House, to talk about some of these issues such as gun violence prevention or public health funding. If you're not able to make the webinar, we also archive these and put them on the website. So this brings me to one of the very quick and easy ways that you can weigh in, and these are action alerts. I'm sure you receive many of these emails from us throughout the year, and we have a good response, the grassroots and grass tops. There's a steady response, but they're far below capacity. There are many members that have never responded. I'd like to say we have about 25,000 members of APHA, and maybe about 3,000 are responding right now. So there's a lot of space for improvement. And with that, I'd also like to talk about just again, how easy this is. You just fill out your contact information. If you have time, you can personalize it. We leave a space where you can edit the message. If you don't have the time or opportunity, you just click send and it goes to the Hill automatically, and it automatically goes to your correct members of Congress. And I'd like to add, also going back to that first quote that I read, in terms of ratio of 100-1, the offices are paying attention to the numbers of people supporting and opposing. So even if you don't have the opportunity to personalize these messages, they're still counting up how many people are opposing and how many are supporting. It's usually, some offices do it on every Friday or sometimes every Monday. They send it to their member of Congress and they say, look, here are the issues that your constituents weighed in on for the week, and this is the general ratio. So we really need to bolster up the other side. It's absolutely critical, and this is one of the easiest ways to do it. And with that, on Tuesday, you should all be receiving an email from us asking you to take action, since Congress is still grappling with the budget. They're still struggling and working on the farm bill. We have these action alerts up on our website, and I ask you if you have the opportunity to please weigh in. So a few different ways for how to get involved, either through correspondence, public events, media, meetings. So these are phone calls, letters, emails, or public events if there are town halls. Media, we provide also letters to the editor, op-eds, to help you engage in these efforts. And then meetings, whether you're in D.C. or you're at home when your members of Congress are back home for recess, it's a great opportunity to also invite them to visit your programs. I'm going to move through so we can move on to the next speakers. But Hill visits are also a great way. As I mentioned, just wanted to highlight that we had about 200 APHA members and affiliates visiting the Hill or their local offices, which is great, and we'd love to see this number continue to increase. We also have campaigns, the Public Health Action Campaign, also known as FACT, that takes place over the summer months. It's an annual congressional recess grassroots advocacy campaign that engages all public health advocates on our priority issues. We also compile a toolkit which pretty much condenses all of our resources into one nice toolkit and then a few other advocacy resources. And just to mention, we had some huge successes this past year, tons of letters to the editor, congressional meetings across the countries, and over 15 published LTEs and op-eds, which is estimated to reach over 2 million readers. And then also the National Public Health Week is another great opportunity to engage and advocate for public health. So with that, I'd just like to conclude to say, you know, we really need you in our advocacy efforts. APHA is constantly engaging in advocacy and lobbying for public health for the issues you care about, and that it's also a two-way relationship. So we're also depending on you to reach out to us as experts. Let us know if there's something that we're not weighing in on, and we're happy to consider that. I'd like to point out somebody in the back of the room, Peter Freeman. His section just got an award for Advocate of the Year, I believe. It was the International Health Section. And they're constantly emailing me and calling me with requests of, why aren't you weighing in on this? Why aren't you doing that? And I said, Peter, that's a good idea. Let's do that. How can we do that together? And he provides me with the expertise to be able to move forward with those activities. We'll hold questions till the end, if that's okay.